Good evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score. I am Mark Gallagher and I'll be with you now right through until 8 o'clock, bringing you your weekly Thursday night fix of all things sport here on Highland. Over the next hour, we'll pack in the best of the week's sporting stories, hear from the voices that matter, and we'll have a look ahead to this weekend where there is a lot at stake as always. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll hear from 3-in-a-row Donegal International Rally winner Callum Devine, who clinched the 2025 Irish Tarmac Championship with a win at the Ulster Rally last Saturday. We'll also hear from local jockey Dylan Brown McMonigal, who has been in flying form on the saddle recently. But firstly, we are going to focus on domestic soccer, and it's been a contrasting week for both Finn Harps and Derry City. Harps booked their place in the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup with a 3-1 win over Bray on Friday, while Derry were knocked out on penalties by Drogheda at the Brandywell on Saturday. And I'm happy to say, joining us on The Score tonight to discuss those matters and more is former Finn Harps captain and current manager of Cockhill Celtic, Gavin Cullen. Good evening and thanks for joining us once again, Gavin.
Hi, good evening. How's things?
Well, we're coming off the back of that FAI Cup weekend. We might start with that. Finn Harps have somewhat reignited their season with this cup run, Gavin. 3-1 winners over Bray on Friday and in the last 16, and now have been handed a home draw against Cork City in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, brilliant result for Finn Harps last week. Real shot in the arm for them for the rest of the season. And another home draw in the quarterfinal, which it's been quite a few years since Harps got to that stage. Obviously Cork in the Premier Division, but the Harps have played them quite a bit over the last few years when they're in the first, so they're not going that well. So it's a very winnable tie for Finn Harps and probably as good as they're going to get at this stage of the competition. So it's real positive news for them.
Cork, as you said, obviously a Premier Division team, but form and momentum, stuff like that matters in sport. And if this were this time last year when Cork were, you know, flying towards their first division title, this would have been a different game. Harps will really go into that game fancying their chances of making a cup semi-final, won't they, Gavin?
Absolutely, they have to be confident. Look, Bray were going well and they done really well to beat them last week, and by all accounts fully deserved one. They seem to have turned a wee corner. Some of the new signings seem to be gelling in quite well. And it looks very positive in terms of the cup competition. Yeah, as you say, form's massive, and Cork are losing a lot of games this season, and they've changed managers and stuff like that. So again, it's as winnable a tie as they probably could have asked for at this point of the competition.
Speaking of confidence, there certainly won't be a lack of belief heading into tomorrow night's league game against Athlone at Finn Park. How do you see that game going?
Yeah, no, I would expect Finn Harps to push on and get another result. Athlone are, you know, they're bottom of the league. They're caught adrift of everybody else. They've had a really poor season. So I would expect Harps to get another one and possibly move up another place or two in the league, you know, and start maybe an end of the season push towards the playoffs. Maybe be too much, but you never know. 3 or 4 wins on the spinner, you know, and they're right in the mix again. So this week's probably a must win in terms of the rest of the season in the league, you know.
Yeah, and Jeremy Doherty will be at Finn Park tomorrow evening, and we'll have regular updates from that game here in Highland from 7:45. Elsewhere in the First Division tomorrow, champions elect Dundalk, they're away to Treaty United. Cove play UCD, Kerry play Longford, and Wexford host Bray. Now, let's get on to Derry City. Stop start, to say the least, and another disappointing result going out of the FAI Cup to Drogheda at the weekend, Gavin.
Yeah, very poor. I watched the game on RTE, and very, very disappointing performance. Thought it was fairly lethargic by Derry for a cup game. I'd say the cup was nearly mostly what they play for in terms of the point situation in the league at this point. So hugely disappointing. Again, probably the only bright spark they had was Michael Duffy and his performance and his goal. But after that, and then the standard of the penalties end to end was hugely disappointing for them.
Derry back out tomorrow night at Eamon Dacey Park against Galway. Is it fair to say at this stage Derry's aims will now have to turn towards securing that European place rather than fighting for a league title?
I think absolutely. I think they're too far off Shamrock Rovers now. I think they're 10-11 points behind them. It's a big ask. Shamrock Rovers aren't losing too many games this season. I know they're still in Europe, but It's a very, very big ask for Derry to push a league title at this point. So it's very, very tight at the top, but Bowes, Drogheda, Shells all in around where Derry are. So it'll take a huge push even to secure European football for next season. But I think that's an absolute minimum requirement for Derry where they're at the minute.
Yeah, Gavin, you're obviously a well-experienced manager and you've captained Finn Harps. You've been around the highest level of football for a long time. Can you pinpoint what just doesn't seem to be gelling for Derry City this season?
I don't know. You see, I haven't. It's very difficult. Like there are obviously a lot of individuals underperforming. I do think the Brandywell pitch has a lot to do with the situation there as well. It's really poor watching the game the other night. It's really hard to get any momentum and any pace or tempo in the game. When the pitch is so dry. There's a multitude of things. I think there's a huge turnover of players, which is never a good thing at a football club. Even mid-season, the players going, players coming. So there seems to be a wee bit of unrest or something. I'm not too sure. They're definitely not at the levels that we would be expecting with the budgets and the players that they're bringing in. So there could be a lot of things, but confidence has a lot to do with it as well. And look, Derry have lost 9 league fixtures this season. They've obviously out of the cup as well, so it's poor enough form by their standards, for definite.
And in other Premier Division games, St Pat's are away to Drogheda, Sligo make the trip to the South Coast to play Waterford, and Cork go to Bohemians. Well, that's it for the League of Ireland stuff, but I want to get a word with you on the Inishowen League and how that's shaping up, Gavin. Nearly that time of year again, you start with an away game against Clonmany in the League Cup on Sunday, and I'm sure you'll be taking your Cockhill team into the new season refreshed and re-energised after the break.
Yeah, we're hoping so. It's the first summer we've had off in probably 3 or 4 years. We've had a good break and we've had a decent enough pre-season. We've a young enough squad at the minute, so we're looking forward to it. And obviously, with young players, you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get ups and downs, but we're confident in their ability and confident, and we see their work rate and training and stuff. So we're confident that way. But look, again, it's not going to be easy. We've a very tough group to start with, ourselves, Clonmany and Buncrana in the League Cup, which are probably realistically the top three teams from last year. And they'll be all thereabouts this year as well. So look, it's a tough start, but look, that's football, and that's what we're there for, to play the good teams, play the better teams and as well.
That's it. It'll be good to see the local football back. Has there been any movement at all on the potential League of Ireland third tier that was talked about earlier in the year?
So Cock Hull, I think it was about 2.5 weeks ago now, met the FAI in Abbottstown, contingent with a presentation, and everything went really well. The FAI are really happy, and I think the Cockle have moved on to the final stage now of acceptance. I think they're nearly there with the 20 clubs that they're going to invite to the third tier, that they're planning on starting it next summer, 2026, with a short season, and then into a full season in 2027, aligned with the League of Ireland.
Great stuff. That's very exciting news for the club. The FAI have been making a few tweaks in the past week or two to the Junior League setup. There was news that the Junior Leagues across the country will be given the chance to choose whether or not they want to play in the winter or the summer. But then there was also the news that the likes of the FAI Junior Cup might be moved to a summer competition or the aligned calendar season. What are your thoughts on those decisions?
Well, look, it's getting a bit messy. I felt that the FAI were going to a calendar year of football and aligning all leagues and all competitions, which I would be agreeable with. Now, I know a lot of leagues are against that, and fair enough, and I understand their reasoning. But the FAI, in my opinion, need to take leadership in terms of what way we're going with it and implement it across the country. To have leagues decide themselves creates a problem with national competition, creates a problem with a lot of cup competitions that, you'll have teams playing what the so-called summer football, like the League of Ireland, against teams that are playing so-called winter football like they do in Northern Ireland at the minute. And you've the transfer window problems and issues that you have there. You have the players will be playing out of season in various cup competitions, which will end up then that successful teams could be end up playing 11, 12 months a year. So I don't think anything's set in stone yet. I don't think anything's sorted out yet. But no, I like obviously as a football person, I would like it sorted out, and I would like everybody to sing of the same hymn sheet. But that obviously doesn't happen in football and in sport. So I would like to see the FA take proper leadership of it and go one way or the other, you know.
I know Cock Hill's direction might be a wee bit different to a lot of other clubs in the junior leagues, as there is that third tier that's coming down the line. But having won the FAI Junior Cup with Cock Hill, I'm sure it's a competition you hold in high regard. And let's just take the FAI Junior Cup for an example. If it were a case where the likes of Cock Hill were playing in the Inishowen League in the winter, and then the crux of the Junior Cup was fixed for the middle of the summer, do you think that would have a big effect on the chances of the likes of Cock Hill making it to the latter stages of them competitions?
Oh, absolutely. Any team that plays out of season, we've experienced it for the last 3 or 4 years. We've played League of Ireland clubs slap bang in the middle of our own pre-season, and you're well off it. Like you're not at the levels you want to be. So like if you're playing, say for instance, the FAI Cup final is played in June, for instance, or July, you know, you're finished your domestic season in May. And you could have 4 or 6 weeks before an FAI Cup final or semi final or whatever. That doesn't really sit well with me. It doesn't work. It doesn't give your teams from your area, the areas that are going to be in a different calendar, the best opportunity to be successful in them competitions. So again, it's something have to be looked at hard between the powers that be and agreed. You know, and then you can't condense a competition like the FAI Cup because it's so big and there's so many teams, so many entries, so it's very difficult to condense it, say from January to May, you know, to try and appease everybody. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to manage these competitions, you know.
Gavin Cullen, thanks very much for joining us on The Score, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon, all right?
Great. Thank you.
Former Finnhurst captain and current Cock Hill Celtic boss Gavin Cullen. Well, as we mentioned there, the local football in Inishowen kicks off this weekend in the Clubman Shirts League Cup. It's QPS v Redcastle. Kildaff are at home to Ely Celtic, and of course Gavin's Cock Hill side go to Clonmany Shamrocks. There are also games in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup on Sunday. Now moving on to Gaelic games, and we're heading into round 3 of the Donegal Club Championships this weekend. Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devenny has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can now tune into on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com. The round 3 action gets underway at 5 o'clock on Saturday with the South West Derby between Killybegs and Kilcar. Both of those sides are sitting on a win each after the opening 2 rounds. Also at 5, Niamh Connell, who pipped our draw at the death last week, they go to Downings. Downings came from behind to beat Kilcar last time out. And at 7:30, unbeaten Sean McCool's travel to face our draw at Davy Brennan Memorial Park. There are 2 games in the Intermediate Championship on Saturday evening. Burt host Bundoran at 5, while Fannad Gaels go to Mallon at 7. And in the Junior A Championship on Saturday, Robert Emmett's play Uris from 5. On Sunday, the first game in the Senior Championship throws in at 1 o'clock in Glenswilly as the hosts welcome Dunloe. Both of those teams are unbeaten so far, with Dunloe one of only 2 teams to win both of their opening games in the Senior Championship. There are 2 games at 3 o'clock. The other team with a 100% record are Gidor. Ronan McNeilis' side play Irua Ballyshannon in Maharagallan. And winless St Nolls are in Letterkenny to face defending Dr Maguire champion St Unans. Later on, there is a local derby between St Michael's and Termon at the Bridge in Dunfanaghy, while Glenfinn chase their first points as they travel to play 4 Masters. Both of those games are at 5 o'clock. Sunday's intermediate games get underway at 2 o'clock with an Inishowen derby between Niamh Padraig Iscahane of Muff and Buncrana. And we will be going over to Oisín Kelly and Brendan Devenny for live coverage of that encounter in the Intermediate Championship on Sunday. At 4, Niamh Columba host Narossa and Red Hughes play Milford and Killygordon. Niamh Columba and Red Hughes are the only 2 teams to have won their opening 2 games in the Intermediate Championship, so those 2 will be looking to make their perfect starts. And a bit later at 5 o'clock, it is Clohaneely at home to Niamh Warra. In the Junior Championship, it's Pettigo against Niamh Padraig Lifford. Niamh Breeds play St Mary's Convoy. Niamh Alton face Moville. And Karen Donna go to Letterkenny Gales. In hurling, the two Donegal Intermediate semi-finals will be played tomorrow night, Friday. Iruha Ballyshannon play St Dunans and Four Masters play Dunlow. There is also action in the Derry Senior Hurling Championship with games across Saturday and Sunday. And finally for now in Gaelic games, the Donegal LGFA Championships continue on Sunday morning. In Group A, St Dunans will look for their first points when they play Termon, and Dunlow play Tabletoppers Moville, while in Group B it is Niamh Wirra up against Niamh Connell. Well, it is time for a break on the programme. When we come back, we'll hear from new Irish Tarmac Rally champion Callum Devine. You're very welcome back to The Score. Now, it is time to turn the focus to rallying, and we're going to focus on what was a big weekend on the national scene. Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan clinched the Irish Tarmac Championship with a win in the Ulster Rally on Saturday evening. The three-in-a-row Donegal International Rally winners are in top spot ahead of Donegal driver David Kelly, with just one event to go in the championship and cannot be caught at the top of the leaderboard. Derry driver Devine spoke to Highlands Oisín Kelly this week and says it's been a special year.
Callum, how are you doing? Welcome back to Highland.
Yeah, thank you very much, Oisín. Good to be back.
Many congratulations to you and Noel, obviously wrapping up the championship and winning the Ulster Rally. The 2 days of Ulster turned out to be a very, very productive couple of days for you.
It was good now. The Ulster Rally is what usually, it's always wet and muddy and everything. And the sun was shining as well. And yeah, it worked out well. We managed to get our first one there and wrap up the Irish Tarmac Championship, most importantly. It was a good weekend all round.
Why is it taking you so long to win Ulster? Because you won everything else.
I don't know. It's probably the conditions and everything. I don't know. It's a tricky rally, a very, very tricky rally. Demanding lots of work on the stages. And usually... when it's so much change in grip with mud and rain and stuff, it gets quite tricky. Probably the last time I was there, or 2 years ago, we have probably been close enough to the front, but we had to think about the championship as well. So no, it's a tricky rally, but it's definitely one now to tick off the list. For both Noel and myself. So it's the first time for both of us.
You don't actually mind those stages which are coming into dusk and coming into the evening time when it's getting a bit darker?
No, to be honest, I'd be a big fan of them. I love the night stages, and I always go well on them. Funny, I actually went I go faster usually in the dark than I do in the daylight sometimes, which is I don't know what way to take that, but no, I do, I really enjoy them. I think if more rallies had at least one or two more of them, it'd make it fantastic, because I think it's class now, even for spectators' point of view, getting to see these cars roaring through the dark and the brake disc glowing and everything. It's
something special to see.
Be some job in Donegal, wouldn't it?
I'll be some job in Donegal. I would die. There'll be plenty of boys that I push that now, but no, Donegal's a strong event as it is, isn't it? So,
Let's talk about the championship. You missed the opening round, which was West Cork, but you totally dominated every single round after that. You won four on the bounce to take what is your second tarmac title. Was there much sort of pressure or hard work involved in doing that? Because at times it seemed easy to you. It was coming very easy to you, Callum.
I would say, Oisín, starting from the start of the year, I actually didn't plan a Tarmac Championship approach this year. As you say, I missed the first round in West Cork. I actually got married the week before, and I says, look, I'll obviously do the big ones. I'll do Killarney, and of course I'll do Donegal, as always. The Circuit of Ireland wasn't too far away, and we said, do you know what, we must have got a bit of itchy feet, and we said, do you know what, we'll do the circuit, and we ended up going to that, and yeah, we managed to win it, and then we were going to Killarney and Donegal regardless, so they went well, and I know Keith and Matt, usually at the front battling, they ran into their own difficulties, having a couple of offs, and Matt not continuing on after Donegal and stuff, probably helped our championship push, but no, look, at it doesn't work, usually work out as well as it does it when you plan these things. But it was a great year. Enjoyed all the events I've done. And probably, as you say, I don't know, maybe was that approach at the start of the year, it wasn't planned, maybe that's what took a wee bit of the pressure off, or maybe it seemed that way. But we put a good effort in as well, me and Noel and the whole team, to make it all happen too. So once we get all them things pulled into line, maybe it looks a bit easier than it is, I suppose.
Well, listen, you put in the hard work and the hard graft to get it, and without doubt you've probably the best car in the country in the Skoda Fabia. But there seems to be lots of other men that are tagging on to this Fabia car now as well. Your car's actually a year old. Is that maybe 12 months or 18 months older than some of the cars that we're now starting to see in the last month or so, Callum?
Yes, my car would have been start of 2024 spec car. And I know a lot of them, there was an upgrade to the Skodas coming into 2025. There's not much in them, just wee bits of improvements here and there, isn't it? And these R5s, because they're quite all similar in ways, and the right hands are capable of winning any event. But the Skoda, for us anyway, I think it's a quite probably the most easiest car to drive, to get the most out of. Which is helping a lot of guys. I know Josh Moffat had his first time in one at the weekend and managed to get a one, and Declan Boyle, he's on two podiums at the weekend as well in one. And yeah, they seem to be a popular car getting, but yeah. I suppose that's the way it is here. If any car's winning back home, everybody seems to want it. So it's definitely not a bad car.
No, that's for sure. When are you going to get the car back out again? I know it's only a couple of days after Ulster and you're after winning a Tarmac Championship, and here's me asking you, when are we going to see you again? Like, is there any more plans now for the rest of the year? Obviously, there's still one round of the Championship to do. Will that interest you, or are you going to dip into something else?
I'm probably going to dip into something else, Oisin. I'm trying to... get everything together. I'm actually going to try this ERC rally in Wales now, which is start of September.
Yeah.
So we done it last year. We had not a bad run. I think we were fifth on it. So it'll be nice. Look, as I say, we probably wouldn't have been our plan if we had to go to Cork to get more points for the championship. But now that the championship's wrapped up, it's given us that luxury to say give it a go again. So we're just trying to put some things together at the moment to make it happen. But yeah, hopefully we'll see us now in Wales and a couple of weeks' time.
Good. So is that something you would like to do more of? Because if you look at the Motorsport Ireland Academy drivers and those that are backed by MA at the moment that are competing on the world stage, the ERC stage, they're competing in the British Rally Championship. There's lots happening at the moment. And you were actually doing that several years ago before there was this big influx of Irish drivers. You're going to Wales. Would you like to do more of that? Would you like to have an option to do more of that, to maybe go further away from home?
I would, to be honest. It's always nice to try and compare yourself to the best. So it is. So I probably, that I'm on that way in nature, I always try to push myself. So it'd be nice to try and maybe try one or two of them next year if we can. As I say, we're going to Wales, hopefully all being well, and how that goes, and then sure that will nearly set us up to try and see what we're going to do the following year. But yeah, we'll still do our usual here. We'll definitely still be doing Donegal, that's for sure. Maybe Clarnie or whatever. But yeah, we'll discuss all that when it comes to Christmas time again and try and decide what the plan is.
Yeah, I'm going to throw another curveball at you because I'm thinking, I've seen John O'Donnell and Paddy Robinson won another historic in the BMW at the weekend and Ulster as well. And there's lots of drivers who, towards the latter part of the year, tend to also dip their toes into historic machinery. Eamon Kelly was at it the last couple of years as well. Listen, it's great to watch. So it is. Like, you see that Rally Legends, which is in Italy as well. It's taking place every year. Is that something that interests you? Do you watch that and think, that would be a bit of crack? Back in the two-wheel drive stuff and have a go. Bit of fun.
I would actually, to be honest, Oisin, but I would be purely for just enjoyment reason and getting plenty of sliding done or whatever would be my approach to it. Apart from the competitive ways, the boys at the front of the modified, they're mad like too. So No, yeah, maybe someday. Maybe someday. It's not in it's not at the plan at the moment. Right. But yeah, maybe someday I'd love to try it. I've been to Rally Legends before, and yeah, it's some spectacle, and it's some weekends enjoyment. And the cars you see is fantastic. So yeah, maybe someday. Well, not we'll definitely not rule it out. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what. If Noel doesn't want to go with you, I'll do it with you. How does that sound?
you'd be the man. You'd be ready for the job, as I say. But a sliding.
Listen, you're in your holidays, and you have to enjoy the good weather and the sun and enjoy your own time with your wife and all, Callum. So one more question before we go back to the Tarmac Championship. What does it mean to you and Noel, and obviously to you now that you've won a second Irish Tarmac title, because there's loads of big names in Irish rallying who have done that, who have won it several times. You've now won it twice. When you're sitting back now, what does it mean to you to have that thing ticked again, and that, I suppose, that award that you have now that you're a Tarmac champion once again?
Yes, it's good that you do it once. It's definitely, it was nice the first time, but yeah, pretty much to get it the second time, it's nice that you're able to see that you can back it up again, probably that way. But no, it's brilliant. It's something we'll look back on probably in later life, saying it was great to do them things. Yeah, and as well, we'll probably look back at this year alone, 2025. It's been a special year, I suppose. I got married at the start of the year, and then it was the year I won Donegal, three in a row. So it's going to be it's a good year. It's a good year, so it has been. And yeah, to get the Tarmac Championship is makes it that bit special.
Okay,
so it's been good.
Listen, enjoy Wales next month, and we'll catch up again soon. Congratulations once again, Callum, to you, and indeed to Noel as well. We can't forget about him. Well done to everybody involved on your championship success, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Cheers.
The new Irish Tarmac Rally champion, Callum Devine, in conversation with Highlands' Oisin Kelly. Now, in our final segment of tonight's show, we're going to go to horse racing. And we have a number of Donegal jockeys that have been in great form in 2025. None more so than our next guest, who has had over 60 winners so far this year, including 5 in one day last Saturday. And we can now welcome Dylan Brown McMonagle onto the programme. Dylan, thanks very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Dylan, it's been another good season for you. You've had over 60 winners so far this year. You must be fairly happy with how your form has been.
Yeah, things are going good. The winners are rolling in and the horse is in great form. So I'm very lucky in the place I'm in, getting plenty of success and support from Joseph. And I think we're well ahead of last year's tally at this stage. So usually when you start off at the start of the year, you want to be beating last year's amount of winners, and we're well on target to doing that. So it's been a great season so far, so hopefully things keep continuing that way.
Yeah, we've been following you closely here in Highland. Your most recent success there came at the weekend at the Curra and Tremor on Saturday. You had 5 winners in one day. That's not bad going.
Yeah, no, that was unbelievable. Going there, I was hoping maybe I might get one or two winners through the day, and to get 5 was unreal. So it doesn't come around too often, so we'll take them when we get them.
How does that work logistically when you have multiple races on the same day at two different venues? Is there a big rush to get from one to the other?
Well, you just have to time it so you can do both of them. You have to obviously check to see if you're going to make it first, and then give yourself a little bit of time in case you don't, yeah, or there might be an accident or something on the road down. But you just go to the first meeting as usual and get the job done there. And as soon as you get off your last ride in the car, I just ran in and was as quick as I could and got out into the car and headed down to Tremor then. So I was lucky enough, it wasn't a busy time of the day, so there was no delays, and we got there with plenty of time to spare and was able to get one more, so it was great.
It must be tiring having 6, 7, 8 races in one day, and they're not even at the same racetrack. I would imagine it's fairly exhausting, and that's just to compete, never mind winning.
Yeah, well, we're fairly fit anyway, so we're well used. You wouldn't really be too tired, no matter if you had 10 rides, but we're well used to it. But once you're riding winners, it probably makes it a lot easier, I suppose.
That's it. You mentioned the trainer, JP O'Brien, there. You've struck up a very good relationship, and it seems to be working out for both of you.
Yeah, it's been great. From the time I started down there as an apprentice, he was always very good to me and continued the support the whole way through to now. So we have plenty of success together, and he looks after me good. I'm very lucky there's a lot of nice horses in the yard to ride, so it makes my job a lot easier for sure, because without the support it wouldn't be possible.
You mentioned a bit earlier that the winners have been rolling in and you have had a great year. Has there been a standout moment for you in 2025?
I haven't rode a Group 1 winner this year, which is what you really want to win. I've been coming close in a couple of them. So hopefully we might get that before the year's up. I've been leading rider in Galway Festival a few weeks back was great. We've had a couple of stakes winners along the way, but things have been going good. It would be great now if we could get a Group 1 before the year's out, but finding those horses aren't easy, but fingers crossed there's a few there that might come to the fore and get one for us.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You touched on the training there and you were saying that you're all fairly fit. When you're in season, I'm sure there's a lot of training you do. Maybe you can give us a wee insight into the kind of preparation you have to do day in, day out to get into the physical shape you need to compete day in, day out at horse racing.
Yeah, well, usually at the start of the season, I was in Dubai for the first few months of the year. And when I was out there, I was coming home and going straight into the season in March time. So when I was out there, I was doing plenty of running every day and getting into shape again. And then when I came back, I was ready to rock. But usually whenever we start the season, you don't really have time to be doing much exercise because it's a full-time job in work in the mornings and then getting into the car to head racing. And you don't really have much time with all the work and the hours you have to drive. So you'd usually have to just get yourself into shape before the season starts and then the riding will keep your condition throughout. But as we said, like when you've got 7 or 8 rides every day, it'll keep you in shape anyway and you'd be so busy. And when you get a day off, you'd be glad of the rest as well at the same time. But I'm still young at the minute, so we're fit and healthy. So the riding keeps me fit at the minute anyway.
Then there's a lot of travel involved in being a full-time jockey. It's full on. Conversely, what does your time off look like when you're not on the saddle?
Well, I work every day. We start at 7 and finish at around 7:15 or half 12. And then my day's off. You might have to go back in the evenings and jump some of the babies out of stalls and stuff ahead of the runs maybe later on in the week or the coming weeks. Or if I was to have a day off, I love to just chill out and go for a bit of dinner or something whenever you can and whatever else, but I'm fairly laid back.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't take much rest at all. Is that even in the off-season that you'd be working every day, yeah?
Yeah, well, in the off-season, I usually go away to Australia or Dubai or somewhere out foreign. I've nothing confirmed this winter to be going away yet, so we'll see what's going to come. But the last 2 years, I've been in Australia for a few months, and I was in January for 3 months as well at the start of this year. So usually when the season ends, I head away and keep busy throughout the winter time as well because it's very important.
Yeah, so you were racing at Tremore and the Curragh last weekend. You were at York yesterday. What does the rest of the season look like for you?
We've got racing in the Curragh on Saturday and we're back in Nace on Sunday. Champions weekend is maybe 3 weeks away, I think. So that's the next one now that's coming up that we'll be looking forward to. And there's plenty more coming up throughout the end of the season as well. But there's plenty of racing left, although the time's going to fly in. But there's plenty of big meetings left to come, so plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, the last time you were on the score here, I think you told Oisin Kelly that you often go up to Aidan O'Brien's stables and are always trying to learn and develop. Is that still the case, Dylan?
It is. I rode for Aidan yesterday in York, over the York Festival. I go in there every second Sunday. Whenever I get a day off in Joseph's, I head down to Hayden's on my Sundays off. So it's great to go in there and they've got the best horses in the world really in there. So you go in and you get the leg over them. It's really good. So there's plenty of work to be done. So he's great. He looks after me well with rides as well. So I'm very lucky.
And horse racing in Donegal is on a real upward curve at the minute. You have yourself doing what you're doing. You know, you've Luke McAteer, Oisin Orr, Brandon Wilkie and young Patrick McGinning and also having good seasons. It's great to see you all doing so well.
Yeah, it's great. We're all keeping in contact with each other. And when we're all growing up, it's great to see everyone getting on so good now, moving on to the bigger stage because it's not an easy game. And thankfully, everyone's getting on good and we all see each other plenty, so it's great to see everyone getting on so well. But it's just it just shows you the advantage of having the pony racing and stuff for us whenever we were younger, that we were able to go through those ranks together. And it's nice to see everyone going on now to bigger and better things.
Lastly, Dylan, you're a sportsman, and I know you'll have your own short-term and long-term goals. Have you thought ahead to what the next few years might look like for you?
We just have to keep the head down and ride as many winners as we can and keep busy, try and keep getting better every day, and hopefully the success will keep continuing then.
Dylan Bremmie-Moneygall, thanks very much for joining us, and the best of luck with the rest of the season and beyond, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Letterkenny jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall in fantastic form on the saddle, and we wish him and all of our Donegal jockeys continued success for the rest of 2025 and beyond. Finally for this evening, a total of 1,340 people have registered for Sunday's Donegal Half Marathon in Letterkenny, with the online entries closed on Wednesday night. Walk-in entries will be taken at the Aura Leisure Centre on Friday evening between 6 and 7 and on Saturday afternoon between 2 and 6. No entries will be taken on the morning of the race. Well, that is just about it from me on tonight's show. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and as always, if you happen to miss any of the interviews on tonight's show, the full programme will be available to listen back to over on our website at highlandradio.com very shortly. Until next time, enjoy the weekend sporting action, and I will talk to you all again soon.